Speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
The question is as follows. When I run into problems, everyone tells me to turn to God and He will help you. How do I turn to God? Will you please help me? That almost sounds as if it comes from a heart that is crying out for help. A heart that says, I need someone to help me see what it means to turn to God. For a few moments, what I'd like to do is for us to look at three things. I'd like for us to look at man in trouble. As man finds himself in a difficult circumstance, and he looks at his life and he cries out, help me. Second of all, I'd like for us to look at man in turning. How that man makes a change in his life. And then finally, one that ends up in a crescendo of goodness. And that is man in triumph as he conquers the problems and the difficulties of life. Sometimes we find ourselves in trouble, and we really weren't expecting it. I don't know if you've ever heard the phrase, that man has a ticking time bomb going off in him. It may be that that person has some physical ailment. It may be that they are on the brink of having a heart attack, a stroke, or some other physical disease that is going to bring them to their knees in a moment, in a quick period of time. Maybe it's something physical. Many of y'all know I grew up on a car lot. We used to have a phrase when somebody pull up and their tires were slick, we'd say, you can see the air inside of their tires. We'd say that's an accident waiting to happen. That there's someone, their lives are just going to all of a sudden come crashing in because they have not carefully looked at the problems. And then all of a sudden, a person has a heart attack and their lives are changed. A person has a very serious accident and the things that they had planned for tomorrow. Or a person has something catastrophic to happen in their lives. And now more than ever, they're crying out. Everyone says, turn to God. How do I do that? How do I turn to God and how do I look for Him? Sin has a way of creeping up on us. And it has a way of just going along in our lives and until one moment in time, and then we become painfully aware that it's gotten a hold of us. In the book of Acts, chapter 9, the Apostle Paul was on his way to Damascus. And while he's on his way to Damascus, he thinks that in his mind, everything is going as it should. He has letters from the chief priest to go to Damascus and put in prison anybody who is worshiping Jesus, anyone who is a Christian. And when I began reading in verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone from heaven. And then he fell to the ground and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said, arise and go to the city, and it will be told you what you must do. Here is Paul. All of a sudden, he's made aware his life is not what he thought it was. The very person he's been fighting against, now he must turn to. David understood very well that in our lives, we find ourselves in trouble. And when we do find ourselves in trouble, there is only one source to whom we can really go and find comfort. If you'll permit me, I'd like to read three passages of Scripture from the book of Psalms, which reflects David's confidence in God. Psalms 40, verse 17. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks on me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O God. He said, the Lord thinks on me. I can't visualize in heaven that is everything I'm going through, the Lord's thinking about it. To be my deliverer. Psalm 94, verses 17 through 19. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would have settled in silence. If I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. David is saying, as you look at my life, and as things begin to fall apart around me, one right after another, there is one to whom I can turn and I can know He's always there. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, the Song of Ascents. And if you want to know when you read that in your Bibles, the word ascent is describing when David was leaving the city of Jerusalem. And he was going across the Kidron Valley and he was going up the Mount of Olives and leaving, fleeing from his son Absalom. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. As he leaves the city in sorrow and tremendous tears, from where is my help going to come? My help comes from God. Frequently, when we find ourselves being confronted either with our sins or catastrophes in our lives, people will say to us, turn to the Lord. He will help you. Okay, well, how do I do that? How do I, when I find myself confronted with these situations? Here's the verse. Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in Him at all times. You people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. What is He saying here? Trust in Him all times. Whenever we're in any kind of circumstances, when it's in good or when it's in bad, trust that God knows what He is talking about. And then that phrase that's in the middle part of her, pour out your hearts. Some people find themselves going through some terrible circumstances in life. And they look for someone to give them comfort, some encouragement. You may go to your mom and your dad. You may go to your best friend. You may go to the preacher at church or one of the elders. You may go to your best friend. And you want to pour out your heart and say, here's where I'm at and here's my problem. Man in trouble has a God. And that God listens. He thinks upon us. We've got to learn to pour out our thoughts to Him. But I guess it wouldn't be fair if I stopped there. Because the second part of our lesson is man in turning. And you say to turn means that there has to be a change in direction. If I am walking down the center aisle and I turn, I'm either going to turn to the left or I'm going to turn to my right or I'm going to turn around. But to turn means to change direction. The Bible uses the word converted to reflect this. The American Standard reading that I memorized a long time ago, Acts 3:19, repent therefore and turn again. If you're reading the original King James or the New King James, repent therefore and be converted. Same idea that's found in a number of places. And as I start looking through the Bible, I find that as a part of the sermons where people are trying to be turned to the Lord. You know, someone says, turn to the Lord. And someone says, well, how do I do that? Let me just throw out a few examples for you. Some Bible lessons. At Lystra, Paul and Barnabas are on their first missionary journey. They come to this pagan city in central Turkey today, and they're trying to persuade these people. And I want to pick up with verse 8. And in Lystra, a certain man was without strength and his feet sitting, crippled from his mother's womb, who had never walked. Then he heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leapt and walked. Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lyconian language, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. And Barnabas they called Zeus and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gate, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. But when the people, or when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard this, they tore their clothing and ran in among the multitude, crying out and saying, men, why are you doing these things? We are also men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should, now listen carefully, turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. When Paul came to Lystra, these people want to offer some sort of thank you to them as if they're gods. And Paul's response is, what we need you to do is turn from useless things, worshiping Zeus and worshiping Hermes, to start worshiping the true God. Let me give you a second example. Acts 15, verses 19 and 20. Paul is at this time at Antioch. It's not just Paul here, but you have Barnabas and Silas, and you have the elders from or at Jerusalem. They're at Jerusalem, but this is regarding Antioch. Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble these among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write them to abstain from things polluted, from fornication, from things strangled and blood. There are people whose lives are turning in these pagan areas, like Lystra, like Corinth, like Antioch. And we don't want these people to have an unnecessary burden placed upon them. Do you realize that when you're talking about man and turning, we're talking about changing a person? Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9, he says, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had among you, how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Your lives are just reflecting a change. Wherever Paul preached, as Brother Sam read just a few minutes ago, what he told Agrippa he preached was for men, going back to verse 20 again, to turn from God, turn to God and do works befitting of repentance. When someone is saying here, my life is a spiritual mess, I have been serving the wrong God, I have been doing things I ought not do, then the scriptures say they have changed their lives. They've turned in a different direction. As I was preparing this, I thought about how this should impact people's lives, particularly Christians, because the person who asked me this question was a Christian. And I think about what occurred in the books of Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. These are what is referred to as post-exilic prophets. That means after the exile, after they've been in the Babylonian captivity and then come back. After they came back, They were not much better in some ways than they had been previously. They were still living for themselves. They were still trying to do whatever they thought would bring them happiness and joy, and they were not experiencing it. In fact, the book of Haggai, chapter 1, verse 6, I think captures what's going on. Listen carefully. He said, "You have sown much, but bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put it into a bag with holes." He said, you're working hard and you're trying to amass some sort of fortune, some sort of living. And he says, it's just like a man's got a bag with holes in it. And the coins are falling out of it. Plink, plink. As soon as he puts the money in, it's falling out the bottom and he's losing it and he can't get ahead. And there's a reason for that. So I go to the book of Malachi and I go to chapter 3, beginning with verse 7. He says, "Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from mine ordinances and not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you will say, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and an offering. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, the whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now with this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open to you the windows of heaven and there pour it out such a blessing that there will not be enough room to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land." Do you hear God say, if you'll do what's right, I'll rebuke the devourer. You know that bag that you got with holes in the bottom of it? I'll close up the holes. God said, if you'll turn back to me, then I'll turn back to you. The parable of the prodigal son reflects this as well. Here's this young man. He finds himself in a far country because of bad choices that he made. He comes to himself realizing the desperate circumstance he's in. He could have stayed there had he chosen to do so, but he said, I need to go back home. I need to go back to my father. I need to go back with humility and penitence. It's evident that there are people who have trouble in their lives from the choices they have made. And someone will say to them, as they look at the sin in their lives and say, turn to God and He'll help you. And they say, but how do we do that? You turn from the things that are sinful and wrong, things that are in the wrong direction, and turn toward God. Be obedient to His will, and the blessings will flow. The third part of our lesson is man in triumph. One of the greatest blessings that those of us who are at times of dark despair can have is to realize that with God we can face anything. Anything. When you have a loved one who is on their deathbed and you look and you can see the suffering in their eyes and you can know that death is near, how can you stand that moment of pain and sorrow? I can tell you how you can stand it. It's because you know that death is not the end. As you look at your life and you realize that though you are doing what is right, there are people who are willing to harm you and hurt you and make fun of you. You can stand because you know that there is an end and that God will reward you. Hebrews 13 and verse 6 says, "So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Whom shall I fear? What shall man do to me?" Or Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." There's simply nothing that you and I cannot overcome with God on our side. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all the day long, and we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who has loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." I don't care what it is. When you look at your life and you see trouble, you see despair, you see despondency, what are you going to do? You turn to God. How do you do that? You pour out your heart to Him, Psalm 62. How do you do that? You turn your life. You turn from the wrong direction to the right direction. You go toward God rather than away from God. And then you realize there is triumph there. That's the reason why Paul and Silas in that Philippian jail could sing praises to God at midnight. What a blessing to know that God is on our side. Tonight, I know you may have your mind on other things. You may be thinking about what will take place in a few minutes. But let me point out to you that this period of time that we have enjoyed together here is God's. And if there is somebody here that needs to be baptized for the remission of your sins, please, please, don't let this opportunity pass. There's no greater privilege that we could have tonight than to see another brother or another sister in Christ. If you are a Christian and your life is not what it ought to be, return to God.